All right, guys, let's talk about Jägermeister. They could have written a totally normal ad here, like a really classic ad. They could have talked about their history, the 56 botanicals. It could have been all salesy and cutesy, but they know you don't care. Jägermeister doesn't want to be like all those other ads you've seen and heard. They just wanted to say two things. Jägermeister is great, but everyone has been drinking it wrong. Damn, that's cold.
Drinking it wrong? All right, if that's the case, how should we be drinking it?
They are so glad you asked, and so am I, Dad. I'm here to help you. Ice cold is the answer, at 0 degrees Fahrenheit to be exact. Ice cold shots of Jägermeister. That's it. That's all they want to tell you. So, wherever you are, if you're hanging out with friends or at the bar, call the shots. Cheers with ice cold shots of Jägermeister. Damn, that's cold. And remember to check out Jägermeister at www.draftkingsxjagermeister.com. Remember, drink responsibly. Jägermeister liqueur, 35% alcohol by volume, imported by Mast Jägermeister US, White Plains, New York. Lots of things are better together. Hockey, food, golf, synchronized swimming, tailgates before a college football game, late night karaoke, especially late night karaoke. There is nothing better than a duet of summer love, and I can assure you that. But if you really want to take things to the next level, drink some Labatt Blue Lights with your friends and live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm going to kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Gojo with Mike Golick Jr. That is me. With me, as always, super producer extraordinaire Brandon Newman. Brandon, how we doing?
Ask them.
We're doing the intro normalcy.
Okay,
help
I'm
people
sorry.
Feel good. We're live at Radio Row for Super Bowl 57. How are you already in a bad mood? It's only like day three.
I'm surprisingly not mad at you right now, so everything's going well.
All right, you know what? Because we've had some marital strife here, we've invited some more people into our sports talk podcast bedroom, which sounds really weird now that I've said that out loud. With us now today here as we are back at Radio Row, you guys know them as Golick and Smetty. Mike Golick Sr., my dad, Jessica Smetana, also my dad, as we've established in the last couple of days.
I feel like we're brought on to be therapists for these two.
I know. Oh, you guys have been fighting since you got to
Phoenix. Oh, my gosh.
It's so funny. So when we were first getting ready to do this podcast, I was talking to Chris Long, who does the podcast with one of his like lifelong friends in Macon, their producer. And I was asking him about it. He goes, you got to be prepared because doing a show with like one of your best friends, you know each other so well that eventually you're going to come to blows. And normally we do this 2,000 miles apart, so that never happens. And this week we've been together a lot. And so I got to see some of the quirks of you around public food that angered me.
Listen, when we went to Jacksonville for the bowl game, the Gator Bowl, I saw him at the very late at night. I'm sure you saw on social media. I took pictures and showed how drunk he was. He was trying to fight me in the lobby like we were in college all over again, like wrestling like we used to be in your home.
Yes,
like just furniture. And I was like, Mike, what is going on in your head? So like that physical fighting is what we do verbally a lot.
But I heard about your food things and ridiculous. Ridiculous, Brandon.
I'm ridiculous.
Yes, ridiculous.
You are the king of free food. So of course you're the king of free stuff.
Did you just heard this?
I heard bits and pieces, and I have to say, I kind of see both sides.
Oh, she's about to take Brandon's point.
Oh, wow.
She's about to take Brandon's point.
There are good people on both sides of this.
I see Brandon's point. To be honest, I'm someone... So the argument was about Brandon wanting you to take him to get fast food after you just had a free media dinner offered to you
that he turned down.
Because it was picked over and out in the air.
So I'm someone who's a little like... first of all, I have a food allergy, so most media dinners, I'm not really sure what's in it, so I just kind of avoid it. I'm also someone who, like, ever since COVID, when food's left out, I'm kind of like, eh. Like, I used to do that Whole Foods hot bar every day. I used to tell people, bury me inside a Whole Foods hot bar.
Okay.
Because I used to eat that
You used to say that out loud to people?
I think I tweeted it once. I love the Whole Foods hot bar. I haven't looked at it the same in 3 years.
Smetty, so. Really? Tell everyone how rich you are.
It's the cheapest food at Whole Foods.
That is true.
It's the best deal at Whole Foods.
If you go by the fudge, you're going to get hit over the head, but the hot bar.
The hot bar is a good deal. Don't even play with me right now.
But you've changed with COVID. Really?
Yeah, well, I don't know why. It's just like now it's like everyone touches the handles
People
and it's
could
left
sneeze
out.
On my food and I'll eat it. I don't care.
We know you're disgusting.
I don't care.
I'm like that with hairs because I usually eat at Waffle Houses. Like, I'll pull the hair right from my teeth and just keep going.
I guess that's my thing, too.
Wait.
You're one of us with that. You're in the mix with us.
So you'll do that. You'll do that, but food that's sitting there and is picked over, you won't touch. All of a sudden, you're Mr. Hands Off.
I can't do it.
Give me a break.
You've got children. Like, dirty, sticky children.
Yeah.
Every kid is just boogers and syrup.
Again, with the sticky. We had a dessert last night that was a sticky toffee something.
Brandon set a land speed record for the amount of times one person can insert sticky into a conversation.
It was so disturbing. It was. You've been weird about food all week. But I get your point of view. I also see Mike's side. You don't want to drive him to get takeout. You want to go home and go to bed. He just had an opportunity for food. He turned it down. And now it's too late. You go home, whatever. But I also, I like to choose what I eat. And usually at the media dinners, it's like, the same thing everyone else is getting. It's usually not what I'm in the mood for.
Dry-ass pretzels.
Am I building a fence here for you to sit on? Wow, you're really sitting on the fence on this one. Holy smokes.
I see both sides.
This
I really do.
This Gullick and Gullick double team, I was not prepared for.
Yeah, no.
I was not prepared for the story, quite honestly. If you, that's picked over and people touched it. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
I simply can't be bothered with this.
No sneeze guard, guys. There's no sneeze guard.
How many people are seriously sneezing on the food?
It's a media event.
You'd
everyone. We're gross.
I mean,
we're
all
gross.
Sneeze
all right, we're gross, but we're also grown-ups. Like, we're not walking up there like, you know how
and
kids just
sneezing
like,
on
cough
it?
Randomly? They do the one where they stick out their tongue when they cough every time.
What media person's doing that? They're at least turning their head or something.
I thought Jim Rome was being real nasty by that
it's
thing.
It's not like a loogie's flying onto the food.
Jim Rome stew. Gatz is over there.
Stuff his hand in the beef.
Dave Damischek did the My Germs thing from Scary Movie Show.
Oh, God.
Real quick on this. Are we all, everybody good with double dipping?
Oh, yeah, obviously.
Absolutely.
I offered you guys all some salsa yesterday. I was double dipping in that salsa.
Yes, absolutely.
And you knew it.
That is true. Jess was walking around. This is peak Radio Row energy. Jess is walking around with a bag of chips and a container of salsa, munching away. Just going, you guys want some of this?
Love that.
I was hungry.
That's my partner right there.
That is incredible. As always, you can download, subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. Leave us a 5-star rating. Do the same for Gullick and Smetty. Check us all out on YouTube this week. What's the Super Bowl week been like so far? Dad, I want to start with you because you're also calling this game as a part of the broadcast on radio for Westwood One. And if you're like me and don't have SXM in your car, you can go on the NFL's app and the radio stuff is on there. I listen to my dad dutifully every weekend.
You are a
instead
liar.
Of great broadcasters
you are
like
a
Greg
liar.
Olson.
We know that's not true.
You are such a liar. Jess listens to me more than you do. So she is now ahead of you on my child status.
Oh, well, okay? I was going to say, I don't want to get in that hierarchy, but I do listen to you on the radio just because I'm constantly.
So, Mike, you're the only one.
It's me, Brandon, Jake. Sid, Mike, or Mike, Sid?
Oh, I'm definitely above Sid, Nate.
I'm definitely above Sid, and I think the dogs are above Sid, quite honestly.
Yeah, no, that's also fair.
Oh,
but
no.
What's the week of prep been like for you guys? You guys have gotten to be around these teams.
Well, that's been the fun of this, because last year was still kind of the end of COVID. When we met with players, it was still Zoom. But here, Monday, when they had the Monday night media night. Before that happened, down kind of in the basement, a floor below, we got to talk to the Eagles and the Chiefs and the different players. So that was cool. It felt like the old, like when we were doing games, the old production meetings, you know, when you get to talk to the players. So that was very cool. Talked to like three or four in each team and then ran into a few in the hallway. By the way, the Kelce brothers are just the coolest. They're just so, so nice.
And like so polar opposite.
They really are. Because I said to Travis, I said, ready to be an uncle again, you know, Jason, his wife's ready to, he's like, yeah, I got three kids. He goes, I gotta start doing something here. I'm like, you know, you don't have to get too crazy on that. I know they're probably not hurting there. So, you know, it's probably okay. You
handsome
know what I'm
guy.
Saying? But it's been very cool to talk to those players and kind of get on the inside a little bit and get ready for that. What's weird is, you know what happens on a Radio Row. We're all doing interviews on Radio Row, and they always ask you a pick. And I always have to say, I can't make a pick.
You get to do the, like, very cool, like, I have to recuse myself
thing. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. I'm so sorry. but I'm a part of the call.
I try not to, you know, I try not to say it in a big-footing way, but, you know, I
can't. It's impossible not to when you're using the word recuse.
Yes. Yeah.
Recuse is a professional-ass word.
Chris Fowler, it's a douchey word.
Chris Fowler and Kirk Herbstreit.
When Kirk Herbstreit recuses himself, I say that is a look-at-me Louie move.
Yeah.
See, that's why I don't use the word. Did I ever use the word recuse?
You did on our show yesterday.
Shit, did I really?
Yeah, you did.
Damn.
What else would you, what other adjective?
You're one of the media elite, the bourgeois.
I have to
sit this one out.
Yeah, there you go. That.
Or to use what I would say, I can't be doing that.
I can't be doing that.
It's like you want to pick? Nah, I can't be doing that. I'm calling shits.
Yeah, yeah. But that's been the difference. I'll go to the practices as well this week. Both practices, obviously practicing at different places. So that's kind of a cool part about it. And I had only done sideline for the first time last year in the Super Bowl and do it again this year. Kurt Warner, Kevin Harlan in their booth, and Laura Oakman's down on the sideline. She's like the pro sideline. I'm down there as kind of an extra analyst, like to kind of shoot the breeze with Kurt about what's going on in the field. But very cool. As I said, the coolest thing is I'm front and center for the halftime performance.
Yeah. Yeah.
And last year with Jay-Z and Eminem and Snoop, I mean, it was awesome. And now Rihanna this year, so it's great seats for that.
Who is she going to bring on as her guest? I've been talking about this with people all throughout the week, and no one has a clue.
Is it Drake? Leaning Jay-Z. I don't think it's going to be Drake.
I think Drake's going to sit this one out.
She did a song with Eminem too, didn't she?
Yeah.
Yes. It was.
Wasn't it a little controversial song?
I think Eminem was just here.
I feel like everything. I know.
Well, Jay-Z was too.
True.
Did Jay-Z perform last year?
He didn't. He's always around now.
He produced it, didn't he?
He produced it, and he is a part of the group that works with the NFL securing musical acts. So he just feels like he's always lurking there.
But he also brought us Rihanna. He found Rihanna.
I feel like it's going to be Calvin Harris or like someone like that.
Ooh,
I do.
Yeah.
And it just fits the other demo. It's like we got the Rihanna fans. We got like the people who listen to electric
EDM,
music and all that stuff. Like not like you, because as we've learned this week, you listen to a lot of music with words in them.
Too many words. Too many words, Brandon. He's got a problem. He's been pointed out by his family. Listens to too much music that has words. Needs fewer words in his music.
Really?
Can we move on?
No.
Will you guys be stunned if Rihanna pulls me up on stage?
Yes.
Oh,
okay.
You're going to break a hip. What would you do on stage?
Oh, come on, Jess. Oh,
wow.
I mean, is this unbelievable?
He'd do the same like dance moves he does everywhere. It's like a double cross crotch chop. He does the Gangnam style video. He goes back to that one every now and then.
Or he loves finger points too.
Ooh,
little finger. Do the little finger point.
He does a little finger wheel.
You know what? I stay, you know, within. Like Will Smith in what was the movie with he and
Hitch.
Kevin J. Hitch.
Oh, my God.
You know, I kind of stay within myself a little bit.
He also loves a good fist rock like this.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? I'll shake the hips a little bit, too.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Do not mock me.
All right,
she age-shames me every show.
It's really offensive and inappropriate, and I am sorry. for the ageism.
Do you do this to your father and mother?
Constantly, yeah.
Uh-huh, yeah.
I enjoy it because none of his other kids talk about how old he is. And he's not that old, but it's fun to hear.
I'm 60. I'm getting up there.
Yeah, no, it's pretty concerning.
Yeah, whatever.
We're getting you ready for a wonderful home at some point here.
What's
down
your font
the road.
On your phone? Remember, we'll talk about it later.
It's not bad.
It's offensive.
It's not bad at all. Yeah. Shut up, Mike.
My God.
It's always on ring, too.
Oh,
that's I love an older person.
I'm sorry, Mike. I am. I feel bad. It's my worst quality is I age shame. I'm terrible.
I'm glad of the 1 year we spent together because it's friggin' over.
Am I too young for you now? You can age shame me back. You can talk about how stupid millennials are.
That is true.
We get thrown under the bus a lot.
You have no idea what VHS tapes are or anything like that.
Yeah.
You never had to use a landline.
Just throw it back at me.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
exactly.
You know what?
I'm a dumb millennial.
You know why I don't? Because I'm nice.
Yes.
Oh, all right.
Not a hater.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Jess, how's Super Bowl week been for you so far? I know you met Cam Hayward not too long ago.
Oh, my gosh.
Pretty exciting.
Yeah, that was really – I'm someone who does not often struggle for words, but I was kind of thrown – I told Dave Damachek, who was just doing a show with Cam Hayward, like, oh, I'm going to watch your show with Cam. I'm a big fan of his. I'm like, can you introduce me? And he was like, yeah. And they finished the show, and he's like, Jess, there's Cam. And I was like, ugh. And I didn't know what to say. And I was like, hi. like, I work for the Dan Le Vitard Show and DraftKings. Like, I'd love to get you on the show sometime. But it was really, I played it really not cool. Like, I was stumbling over my words.
Oh, God.
He's such a large man with such beefy hands.
He is.
So nice. I almost was like, can you just be mean to me and then I can play off of that? But he was very kind.
Yeah, no, it's unnervingly kind for his size. Yeah.
He's
and
a
I
nice
was like,
guy.
You know, I'm a Steelers fan. Like, I had to do that whole thing, you know, which is a little embarrassing when you say you're a fan of something, I feel like. Because then they think that you're weird.
Well, and they like, I feel like they automatically put the guard up, like, oh, they're a fan, so I have to like be on my best behavior.
But it's
for
like
this.
I'm a fan, but I'm also I work in media, like I'm, you know, I don't want an autograph.
He was one of my like, I say welcome to the NFL, like welcome and then goodbye. Like he was the one that helped throw me out of the club very quickly when I tried to join.
You guys are like around the same age, right?
Around the same age, he's a few years older, and he was already one of the better players on the Steelers when I got there for rookie camp. And I remember he came around on like a tackle stunt. And first, like, headbutted me, which his gigantic cannonball head. I thought I had a big hard head. I learned there's levels to this shit. And then he's also bigger, faster, stronger. So he just extended his arm out. You know, like the little brother thing where, like, the older brother puts his hand out and you can't get your arms over there. That was how I felt. And that was one of those first moments. I was like, you know what? Maybe I'll do something else. Like, maybe I'll go somewhere else.
Maybe I'll host a podcast.
So that threw you a little bit. Is there anybody here that you think you would meet where you would pull a Jess and be kind of at a... lost for words.
I mean, it happens for me in the most unimpressive places. Like, there's a lot of really cool, like, celebrity people walking around here and all pros. And, like, I met Nick Hardwick, who was the center for the Chargers for a decade last year, and called my mom after. I was like, Nick Hardwick knew who I was. Like, he had listened to some of my stuff before, at least lied about it.
That's great.
I mean, he's part of the reason I got, like, tattoos. He had these awesome tattoo sleeves when he played for the Chargers.
He was your tattoo
inspo? I always thought it was an awesome aesthetic, so now I've got a full sleeve on one side and a half on the other, in large part because I
you should get his face tattooed on the side with the half sleeve.
Oh, I like that.
Oh, my God. Right, him between all of my dogs that have passed away right there and looked like a memorial to him for some reason. Oh, really weird.
I like that idea.
Yeah.
Well, it was my idea, so obviously I like it.
I mean, that would be well in line with me and strange football namesakes, considering, as you know,
Darius.
my confirmation name. So, Brandon, I don't know if you know even know this.
No, I don't.
So, in the Catholic Church, you've got to choose when you are confirmed.
Yes, it's like confirmation.
Yes. You choosing the religion. You have to pick a confirmation name.
So Which, by the way, you have to do when you're too young to not choose it.
Yes.
But that's besides the point.
It's like when you're in Spanish class and you got to choose a name?
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I had to pick my Spanish confirmation name. And my normal name is Michael Lewis Golick Jr. And when I was going through this, you're supposed to pick like a saint or something that means a lot
Michael
to you in the
Lewis,
religion.
Michael Lewis, like the author, like you're
Michael Lewis, like his father.
Michael Lewis Moneyball Golick should be your nickname.
Michael Lewis Golick Jr.
Michael Lewis the Blindside Golick.
Coming to a book signing near you.
Oh, my God.
But you're supposed to pick, like, a saint or something that means a lot to you in the religion. At that time in the early 2000s, Darius Walker was a great running back for Notre Dame football. And so I shoehorned that in and found a Saint Darius and made that my confirmation name because of Darius Walker, a running back who, like, ended up being an undrafted free agent and playing for the Texans for a little bit. And even in Notre Dame lore,
he's
not the best running back to ever come through that
school.
But
I always think of Darius Walker, and I think of Tim Collins, the old PA announcer at Notre Dame, just saying Darius Walker, because he just had like a nice 3-yard gain, and he just say Darius Walker. You know exactly what I'm thinking, right?
100%.
The PA voice.
100%.
Darius Walker walked so Armando Allen could run. Is that fair? No, they're around the same?
They were around the same team. I think they were on the same team.
They weren't the same team.
No?
There was generations between those two.
I mean,
two,
I was 13
style.
When I was being confirmed.
Okay.
So Armando Allen was
one
of our teammates.
Everything that happened before 2000
didn't happen, right?
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'll say this. So back to your question. After the 30 for 30 Ravens, Baltimore Bullies 30 for 30s came out, I mean, any of those guys outside of Shannon, because I know him, he doesn't have an email address, which is just something that annoys me about him. But Trent Dilfer, I saw.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a man right there. The goose.
Trent Dilfer, who thinks all these new quarterbacks are unimpressive.
Trent,
what a bar.
It's going to be interesting with him head coaching what he does.
UAB head coach Trent Dilfer.
Oh, yeah.
What a wild offseason addition. Yeah.
It did.
Well, he did that top quarterback camp all the time, and now he's going to be a coach. He's the quarterback guru.
Listen, The last time they put a former Ravens as a head coach didn't go out so well with Ed Reed, so I believe it when I see
it. Oh, that whole debacle.
I believe it when I see it.
Brandon, I want to segue because you mentioned UAB, which is a Group of Five school, and you played your grad season at Maction School, Ball State.
Yes.
Would you know, Mike Senior, we discovered last night that I have a photo of Brandon playing for Ball State on my cell phone.
Really?
Because his first game, or I guess like his first game, third game at Ball State was at Clemson, and it was my first Clemson home game.
Oh.
So I have a bunch of pictures of like the field and like selfies with my roommates and stuff, and we were in the car last night, and we discovered that he played in that game.
It was a very weird how it came up because I was like, she's like, oh, freshman year Clemson. I first time I knew that. And I was like, oh, yeah, I love Clemson. I talked about the players and the fans and the type of fans they have. And then she was like, oh, Ball State, September. She said the date exactly. And I was like, oh, yeah. And she's like, I probably have a picture of you on my phone. Scrolls through 5,000
50,000.
How do you have that picture?
I have 50,000 photos on my phone.
Oh, my God.
How does it function?
It's pretty fast, honestly.
And then there was a good 11, and then she found the field goal block team where I was hiding behind a linebacker, and I was just blown away.
I just think it's such a small world. I watched you play for Ball State when I was a freshman at Clemson, and now here we are at Radio Row.
It was like a spy movie. Jess is just like, enhance.
I was like, what was your number?
Enhance.
Were you on the field goal blocking team?
Hey, wow.
Six tackles, three TFLs, one sack. I mean,
I had a good game.
Right? I had a good game at Clemson.
Really? You know your stats from that game? Wow.
Yeah, it was Clemson.
Okay.
Name got called a lot.
I'm talking a little smoke
God,
here.
There we go.
Okay.
All right. So, Dad, you can't give a pick for this
game. I cannot
game.
Give a pick. I'm sorry. I have to recuse myself.
You can't be doing that.
You have to.
Can't be doing that shit.
I must sit this one out.
Jess, you can give a pick.
I gave a pick on goal against Medi yesterday. I said, I think the Eagles are the better team, but I'm not picking against Patrick Mahomes. So I'm going with the Chiefs.
All right. Rocking with the Chiefs there. Yeah. Respect it. Everyone, make sure you check out, download, subscribe, rate, review, Go Look and Smetty for Dad recusing himself, elderly shaming,
and you were on our show too yesterday.
Yes.
So everyone should check that out.
Yeah.
We talked about our adventures at TPC Scottsdale, in which you did not give away anything.
No.
But we do have something in video form.
Video will be coming out soon with Mike and Jess and myself from the TPC that I think people will enjoy. It was a lot of fun.
Exactly. It was a hell of a day. It was a great sort of pregame for what's coming up with the Waste Management Open. I know we're going to try and get over there and see some of the debauchery on the course, go get showered with beer.
Speaking of pregame, you know, the best part of that shoot we did is the last half hour they opened the bar and I started slamming beer.
Yes.
It was 11:30 too.
It was awesome.
11:30, people eating cheeseburgers and chugging beers.
Liquid lunch, baby. Liquid lunch!
Oh, my God. All right, we are going to take a quick break. It is DraftKings VSiN Family Day around here. So when we come back, we are going to be joined in two parts by Michael Lombardi from the GM Shuffle and Stormy Bonantoni from VSiN's The Final Countdown, a name that I will continue to get right.
Final Countdown!
That was great, guys.
Nailed it.
Hey, Dad, what do you do when you're out with friends, the waiter comes up and tries to take everybody's order, but the whole table freezes up and everyone's looking at each other trying to find some help?
That's a great question. So what should I do?
You should have some confidence, Dad, or as our friends at Jägermeister call it, shotfidence. If everyone's having trouble ordering, here's what you do. You take charge, you grab the bull by the horns, you find that dog in you, and you make an executive decision. And just order for the table, a round of ice-cold Jägermeister shots. Damn, that's cold. Because apparently, we've all been drinking Jägermeister wrong.
Did not know that. How should we be drinking it?
Glad you asked, Dad. We should be drinking it ice-cold at 0 degrees Fahrenheit.
Well, that brings up other things that I love ice cold as well. And I'll tell you right out of the gate, that's going to be a candy bar pulled out of the freezer. That's my way of eating candy.
Oh, I love it. On the golf course out there, you get to the turn in the middle of the round there, and you get to that little clubhouse there, and they've always got the candy bar options, and I always see they've usually got a little box of them in the freezer, and it always makes it better on a hot day out on the golf course, taking a bite of that cold, cold chocolate and getting ready to go for the rest of my round. It's the same way with Jägermeister. So wherever you are, if you're hanging out with friends at the bar, call the shots. Cheers with ice-cold shots of Jägermeister. Damn, that's cold.
And remember to check out Jägermeister at www.draftkingsxjagermeister.com. Remember, drink responsibly. Jägermeister Liqueur, 35% alcohol by volume, imported by Mast Jägermeister U.S., White Plains, New York.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Gojo with Mike Golic Jr. That is me, Brandon Newman, with me as always here live at Radio Row, Super Bowl 57. Very excited to be joined by Michael Lombardi, former NFL executive and co-host of the GM Shuffle, wherever you guys get your podcast. How you doing?
It's good to be here. Good to meet you. Good to see you and hang out in here. I feel like I'm at a Notre Dame reunion. Should they play that Notre Dame theme song as we get on the set here?
See, people don't know this about the editing as we record these podcasts. Yeah. In the post, Brandon just dubs the Notre Dame fight song at low volume. Yeah.
So when my phone rings, the Sopranos, the movie to this beginning of the Sopranos music, I assume both of your guys' phones rings to Notre Dame fight song, right?
It's a requirement to receive the degree.
I got that.
So the Sopranos song, though. All right, so lean all the way into the jersey.
I go either Sopranos or a Godfather theme, but I've been on the Sopranos. Yeah, I'm all Jersey. I grew up in Jersey. I was born and raised in Jersey. So, yeah, I'm pure Jersey. I am from the Church of Springsteen. Yes, I am.
It's my number one party trick, as I adjust on the fly here. I was actually born in Jersey. So I was born in Voorhees, and my dad was playing for the Eagles.
Okay.
So we lived across the bridge there. So I get to technically claim Jersey, even though I was there when I was like 3 years old.
I have two grandsons that I technically claim are Jersey boys. My oldest grandson was born in Jersey because my son worked for the Jets. And then my second one, he was born in Jersey, even though he worked for the Patriots. So, yeah, I got at least two in the family.
My son's born in Morristown.
There you go. My grandson was born in Morristown, too, right there.
Yeah, I love it.
We've got the Jersey pipeline
firmly
established.
Yeah, we got the Eagle.
And the Eagle pipeline up here. All leading to this week, which is very exciting. You've got the bling out for this week.
Yeah, I brought it out.
This is
from when we beat the Falcons 28-3, came back. So that's a good one. And then I had the one when we beat Seattle here. This is a great, for me, it's a great memory to come back to this town and remember that Seattle game and all that went in that. And the ability for Belichick to really, you know, kind of watch Pete Carroll on the sideline. I wrote about this in Gridiron Genius, my book, about not calling that timeout. Well, we're all up in the box screaming for him to call timeout. And he's just standing there looking at Pete. He knew something was wrong, and they weren't sure what they were going to do. And then Malcolm makes the play that basically gets you a ring. So I my first year in the league, I went 15-1. And won a Super Bowl with the 49ers, and then it took forever to get back to win again.
What is that like? And we hear this all the time with players, too, who maybe don't have that realization because they come in and have early success about just how difficult it is to actually get to one of these things.
You almost take it for granted. I mean, I was around Bill Walsh, so you think, okay. Then the next year, Joe gets hurt, and we struggle through. And then in 86, we think we got a really good chance. And then Joe gets killed by Jim Burt there in the Meadowlands and lands on his back. And then, you know, it kind of whittles away a little bit there. So, you know, you think you're close, but to climb that mountain again is really hard. And you got to have a lot of players that have that ability to want to climb the mountain, like Brady. You know, Brady, you ask Brady if he won anything. He doesn't think he's won anything. He has that ability to have great competitive stamina. So he just keeps constantly working to get there. That takes a lot.
Can you speak to after getting to the mountaintop, the motivation to get back there? We saw the Rams fall off. Everyone talks about the Super Bowl hangover. How real is that?
So we're flying back from Phoenix here on the plane after the Malcolm Butler play. I'm sitting next to my wife, and Bill comes back, and he literally starts going into what we have to do from that day forward to get ready. And then he goes up to Scott O'Brien, who he and I go back to the UNLV days together, and he starts going through Scott. It's a mindset, and you just literally, Belichick buried it, went on and moved to the next one. And it's just got to have that. And if you try to revel in it a little bit and you try to rejoice, you can't go. Look at the Eagles. They spent a lot of time talking about how great that Super Bowl was. It took them 5 years to get back here again. So it's hard. And you got to have a team that's willing to move forward, you know, that has more of an appetite. That's a hard thing to do. Players get comfortable.
I think that's an interesting lens to look at this current Super Bowl matchup with, because you mentioned Philadelphia. There are some carryover, but for the most part, different quarterback, different coach, so many different parts. That versus what Kansas City's done with the same course, retooling from their Super Bowl loss. Is there one that impresses you more from a team-building standpoint?
I think Philly, you got to give them credit, because I was not a Hurts guy coming out of college. The guy gets benched in a conference in the championship game because he can't really throw it, right? And it goes to Oklahoma. And I think what people misconstrue about Oklahoma's offense and Lincoln Riley, it's more run than it is pass, right?
Definitely.
And so, you know, he didn't really throw it there. And they took a chance on him. And then what I give them a ton of credit for is they divide, I call it the six-back offense. So what they've been able to do is run. He is the main runner in their offense.
Yes.
So you have to account for him as the sixth back, okay? Whereas Patrick Mahomes scrambles, but he's not a runner. And they don't call power for Patrick Mahomes. They don't call counter for Patrick Mahomes. They call counter for Hurts. They call power for Hurts. So they've developed an offense around his skill set, and his work ethic and his character elevated himself into this role to go from a guy that I didn't think was going to be able to do it. Because when you watched him in college or watched him even in his first year in the pros, he held the ball. He couldn't throw it. He wouldn't throw it. He couldn't anticipate throws. Now they've developed an offense where he doesn't really have to do that.
But isn't why he was so underappreciated exactly why the Eagles are in this position to build the team around him, because his contract is paying a lot of money.
I mean, well, with the Final Four, you know, so the way you mark your success in the NFL is how many Final Four games you get to, right? So that's because if you measure yourself by the Super Bowl, that's a hard thing to do. So to get to the Final Four is a challenge, and that John Madden went six times before he could break through. So it's really hard. And I think when you study the Final Four teams, three of them have quarterbacks on the rookie contract. Okay, and so one of the teams does it. Now, so how does this affect the game? We're going to go play a game this Sunday where the worst special teams, the Chiefs, it has a high-priced quarterback. The reason they are the worst special teams is because they have to have so many young players on their roster to make up for Mahomes. The Eagles are 31st in special teams because they have so many other veteran players that they've captured around that they've had to give up. These have 11 college players make their team, each team. And that's why you don't have great special teams, because people think, well, special teams are a bunch of young guys running down. That's not it. You got to have experienced guys know how to cover kicks and do all that. And that's why this game, which is interesting, has two of those teams that are the worst special teams in the league.
And both getting there in different ways with those resources. I want to look at the top, and we've talked a lot about Philadelphia. We'll get to Kansas City. How impressed by Nick Sirianni's development from his opening press conference, which so many people reference, to what he's become now, his decision-making and aggression as a head coach?
So one of the things I do is I write this thing called The Daily Coach. We do, George Raveling, the former basketball coach at USC, and we wrote about that today, about how that first impression by Nick Sirianni was so bad. And typically what you want to do is tell a story. You want to tell a story, which he didn't do. But since then, he's told a great story. He's relinquished himself from the play caller. He's taken a step back. He's become a head coach. And all the credit to develop the six-back offense goes with him. And he's been willing to be adaptive. The Eagles are, I've often said this about the Eagles because I live back there. They are an organization that they want the organization to carry the head coach, not the head coach carry the organization. I think if you look at the relationship breakup between Peterson and the Eagles, it was because of that, right? Peterson, having won a Super Bowl, wanted more say in a lot of things. The Eagles wanted to run their organization. And I think Sirianni's done a great job of learning how to become a coach, developing this offense, and growing into the role. I think he's been great.
So from that side to Andy Reid on the other side, the perennial veteran, guy who's used to this stage, where do you think the experience for him shows up the most in this week and in the game?
So for me, football is a game of three dimensions, right? The first quarter is all about assessment. So when you're watching the game on television, you're assessing as a coach, you're assessing, is this the game plan we practiced against? Is this what we think they're going to do? The second and the third quarter is about adjustments to that assessment. So how do we adjust this? How do we adjust that? What do we do if they do this? What do we do? And then the fourth quarter is a standalone game. So you've got to make decisions in the fourth quarter that stand alone. This is why I wear this ring, because Belichick did that in the fourth quarter. So I think Andy understands that. These are two teams that are fascinating. So if you want to look at any stat in all of football, the number one stat on who gets to the Super Bowl is first half point differential. It's been time immemorial. Wow. It always is. Who scores the most and gives up the least points in the first half? The Eagles score 18 points in the first half. The Chiefs score 15.5. The Eagles' plus-minus margin is 9-6. The Chiefs is 4-8. So they're used to playing from in front. Mm-hmm. And so they set their team that way. And I think that strategy is gone. Now, who has to play the different way is going to determine that. You got to believe the way that they coach in Kansas City, Andy's ability to adjust gives him a chance. Sirianni's going to have to be sharp on his game, and he's going to have to not take the chances that provide too much risk. I mean, that's what you got to be really careful with. Interesting, the Chiefs are the worst team in the National Football League in third and short, and that's going to be the most critical down in this game. So Andy's got to have a lot of plays on his play sheet that cover third and two that aren't runs, that are somehow I throw this football, and the Eagles are going to know that. So I think that's the game within the game.
And doing all that while accounting for Patrick Mahomes, who at this point we saw in the AFC Championship on that hobbled ankle in plenty of critical spots in the second half, just say, hey, forget it. I am going to go and battle right. through this play and make the play. With 2 weeks to prepare and rest leading up to this, you'd imagine they're approaching this like he is as fully healthy as they're going to expect.
I think he is, and I think if you're Jonathan Gannon, I mean, how do you stop a great quarterback on any level? Everybody thinks it's coverage, right? It's not. It's about how you rush your defensive linemen. I think what the 49ers tried to do against the Eagles was they kept those ends, and as soon as those ends got up as high as the quarterback, yep. they pushed the pocket in, and then they had pressure from inside. When you play Mahomes, you're going to have to keep him in the pocket. The game that I keep going back to is the Tennessee game. So Tennessee plays the Chiefs after the Chiefs bye. It's the first game. Tennessee's playing with Malik Willis. They get one first down after the five-minute mark in the second quarter, yet the game goes to overtime. Mahomes has got to throw it 68 times in the game. They can't run it. And it takes two quarterback scrambles from Mahomes to get the game to overtime. He runs 20 yards, and then he runs a 14-yard touchdown. So you've got to keep Mahomes in the pocket, too, because what does Mahomes want to do more than anything? He wants to play schoolyard football.
Yep.
He wants the play to break down, and then I take over. And then I make these great plays, and that's what you got to do. So, to me, this is a game about which defensive front rushes the quarterback the right way.
Well, with all the similarities that's been reported about these teams, the record, the amount of points scored in the regular season, what's going to be the biggest difference that we see between these two? Obviously, with the two quarterbacks dynamic, but what's the biggest difference?
I think it's going to be the Philadelphia defensive front. So when you watch, what is the Achilles heel of the Chiefs? So the Chiefs have played the Bengals four times, right? And in those games, the Bengals, in the first three games, the Bengals limited them to 27 possessions in three games total. So the Bengals did a great job of limiting Mahomes from being on the field. The other thing they did is they were able to pressure him. With their defensive front, they didn't have to blitz to pressure them. And that's key. Tennessee, I keep going back to that game. Tennessee rushed four in that game. They gave up a zillion yards, but they rushed four. They sacked them four times. I think that's going to be the game. Can this Chief offensive line, you know, they're paid Orlando Brown. So remember, go back to the Tampa Super Bowl. They lose to Tampa. They got their butts kicked up front. Now, Eric Fisher got hurt in Buffalo the week before, so they had to start Mike Reimers at left tackle. So because of that, they got killed up front. The Bucs defensive front destroyed Mahomes 31-9. I think that's the game. And they got Orlando Brown's got to play his best. Wiley's got to play his best. And Tooney and Humphrey and Smith, all those guys inside, they have to play their best football. If they don't, Mahomes won't be as good as he can be.
And I think especially with the Chiefs, we've seen so much of this year. The multi-tight end sets have become much more norm around there. The 13 personnel looks, all things that they can use formationally to try and give those guys some help. But you're right, at the end of the day, it's always the one-on-one matchups up front when you've got that many guys right. loaded up on that pass rush.
I mean, look, here, you know, you played football in your backyard. You played football in your backyard. When it was five Mississippi, the quarterback could make a throw. When it was three Mississippi, he had a hard time throwing. That's pro football. So if the Chiefs have five Mississippi, Mahomes is going to win the game. If the Eagles make it three Mississippi, they're going to win the game. I mean, it's as simple as that, right? And so that's really what we're looking at. And I think that's going to be the essence of the game. If you can control that, you can do it. Mahomes is so good, though. You got to be able to run them down in the pocket. You got to have fast ends. The Eagles do.
It is going to be fascinating. Football is a very complicated game, but it could always become a very simple game.
That's right.
When it matters the most. Mike, we appreciate the
time.
Thank
you, guys. Good to be here.
Appreciate it.
Thank you so
much for this. The GM Shuffle, everyone, make sure you check it out. Phenomenal stuff, as always.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you.
Like a lot of people out there, I'm a big Swiftie. And so as you can imagine, when the Taylor Swift Eras Tour was announced last summer, it was like the Super Bowl for me. I had everything ready to go to give myself the best chance of getting great tickets. My whole family was in on the action. We spent hours in front of our monitors waiting for the link for the presale before the presale so that when we got our chance in line, we clicked the right button at the right time to make sure we had our chance at great seats for this once-in-a-lifetime concert opportunity. Because when you want the best, you have to act quickly, or someone else is going to get it instead. It's like if you're hiring for your business. You want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. So what's the best way to do that? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Gojo. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. So amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/Gojo. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/Gojo. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
What's up, everybody? Back with Gojo with Mike Golic Jr., Brandon Newman, super producer here as always. Stormy Bonatoni here from VSiN, the final countdown.
Nailed it.
I have almost called it the final drive now after you pointed out your guys' logo looks like a speedometer.
It's my fault. I apologize. But it does, kind of, right? And you're like, Stormy, it's a clock. What are you talking about? But it's giving speedometer vibes.
We're giving speedometer vibes there. You commented, Brandon, giving elite dad vibes. The YouTube content has never been more valuable than it is this week, as Brandon Newman has put on a tour de force of Super Bowl fashion.
Oh, my goodness. The style game, my man. And insane.
I can't wait to run it back because there's more eyes now. You can redo some shirts. Not everyone's following me on Instagram, so I can't wait to do the repeats.
Well, I wore special shoes yesterday specifically for Mike Golic Jr. yesterday because I thought I was going to be with you guys yesterday, and I'm super excited about it. And then today, I'm boots girl today, so I'm just a loser, and no recovering.
How many shoes did you pack for this trip?
3.
Okay. Damn, that's
modest. The spin zone is, though.
Oh, but I did also pack slippers and slides.
Separately?
Like, in my backpack. Five.
Okay. Yeah.
Counting's hard.
But those two were in my backpack because those are like, you know, I'm a slippers girl.
That's just a Super Bowl veteran. Like, that's someone who understands this is a long week. You start from the ground up. We build the foundation.
Comfort is key.
You are literal boots on the ground today for us.
Whoa.
See?
You know, it's like you speak for a living or something.
Right there. You guys bring it out of me. We've got great teammates here. We obviously want to get to, especially with you. I've seen you do a bunch of cool stuff with some of the Super Bowl prop bets. We are right next to the TikTok booth. I have to imagine you're like pulsating right now as you have become one of sports media's prominent TikTokers.
Oh my gosh. No, I'm terrible. I'm a knucklehead, and that's the problem. I just find stupid sounds, and I provide nothing of value. So if you want to tune in, it's just going to be something for you to laugh at me about. I think self-deprecating is the only real way to go when it comes to this type of thing. But I tried to give some knowledge the other day. I've been doing this little Super Bowl segment lately called Stormy Does the Research, so you don't have to. And it's just kind of silly, goofy things like the Gatorade prop or the coin toss numbers. And
so you had a fascinating one with that, and we do want to look at some props with you, but I was blown away. We were talking on the sweat with our friends Emerson and Jesse about the Gatorade prop.
Mm-hmm.
You have pointed out that there is one color that has never made an appearance in the Gatorade bath.
Absolute insanity to me. Red. Fruit punch. Do we call them flavors or colors?
I always struggle with that. Yeah, I like
because orange is both, so it's deceiving.
I like to call it by its biblical name, Red 40. Is Red 40 dye? Yeah, it's Red 40.
This is an important aside.
Yellow number
to this.
5.
Yeah.
Do you guys consider that Gatorade flavor yellow or green? I've seen Chris Long have this debate that yellow Gatorade is actually green. I think it's completely misguided. I love Chris, but he's dead wrong.
Well,
it's yellow.
It's yellow. The flavor is lemon lime, so maybe the thought of it is deceiving from that standpoint.
Right.
But what I have heard is that, and you're the players, you're the athletes, you are used to the Gatorade in the big buckets more so than just Joe Schmo over here, but apparently it has to do with the amount of powder that you put in there.
Yes.
If you put in a certain amount of powder, it starts to get a deeper color.
A deeper green.
Is that true?
Yeah, absolutely. So. We used to steal those and make drinks for parties when we were in college.
Okay.
So.
Jungle juice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's something else in those as well.
Exactly. It's usually grain alcohol.
But yeah, red has never ever been dumped on a game-winning coach in the Super Bowl, which I thought was wild because fruit punch is one of the like more popular common flavors, but never been used before. Blue has been in back-to-back Super Bowls, 3 of the last 4, so it's very popular. But we've got some angles here with Kansas City and Philadelphia because you've got Nick Sirianni, who just had yellow Gatorade dumped on him after winning the NFC Championship game against my 49ers. We're not going to talk about that side of things. And the Chiefs, who won a couple years back and had orange poured on Andy Reid. So that's why those two are like shorter odds on the odds boards for it, because there's an expectation if you think the Chiefs are going to win, hey, it's probably going to be orange instead of red, which golden opportunity, Kansas City. What are we doing?
That's why I figured immediately my moron brain was like, oh, see red, hit red. It's got to be the year for it.
Yeah.
But wow, no red ever. All right.
What a letdown.
Stunned.
I'm always thinking it's going to be something that we haven't seen before. If we've never seen red, then I'm always just hoping for the impossible, like blue and red mixed. Purple.
Purple.
See.
I'm seeing red at that argument.
Mm. Just nailed it. All right, so red Gatorade, not going to be the great bet for you here. As you've looked down this week at the list, are there two or three prop bets that you really love going into this game? Any like the normal ones, obviously, some of the normal player props before we get to some of my favorite goofy ones?
Yes, so I'm like very game script oriented kind of, and when it comes to the outcome of this game, I feel terrible because I have no real conviction like it's going to be the Eagles, it's going to be the Chiefs. I'm so of the mindset of we're going to have a close game. I think the Eagles could have a lead a good bit of the way through this game, but you can't count out Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid in the fourth quarter, and you just can't.
Yeah.
So from a game portion, I did kind of a non-traditional teaser. And so people maybe that don't bet a ton, 6-point teaser, you usually pair two games together. And instead what I'm doing is the spread and the total tease for 6 points. So I brought Kansas City up from 2 to 8. So you're getting a little over a touchdown with the Chiefs in this spot instead of just the 1.5, 2 points. And the total down 6 points to 44.5. So we can get an over 44.5.
Okay.
So that's kind of my vibe. I just hope we get a close game, and then if they do keep it close, the anticipation for me is that KC is going to be able to get some points on the board. Then prop master flash over
Let's
here.
Go.
No, I like the Eagles early, and I mean 62 first quarter points led the NFL. Jalen Hurts, for as much as we talk about his legs and dual threat ability, 15 first quarter passing touchdowns this season, the most in the league, the best QBR in the first quarter in the league as well.
Wow.
And so there's a prop for Jalen Hurts to throw a first quarter touchdown pass that paid plus 245, I think. And I really liked that thought process. The Eagles, yes, we all know the second quarter situations there. I mean, their scoring margin in the second quarter is just ridiculous. It's like upwards of plus 130. So I like them to have a first half lead as well. And it's just a little less than even money, minus 105. So bet $105 to win 100. I really, really like that angle. I think everything screaming Eagles early. But then after that, I'm not so sure.
I know. Then we all start to get worried about the bad man wearing 15 doing bad man things.
Oh, but another kind of prop angle that kind of goes with that, if we think it's going to be a close game, if we think there could be some ties, any point in the game after 0-0 for there to be a tie is like a minus 110 bet.
Wow.
And I think that's super reasonable. You could get a 10-10 score if we get into another situation like the AFC Championship where we have a walk-off field goal in regulation or something. Like, there's some fun ways to bet the thought process you have on the game without actually betting the winner, because I'd be struggling there.
Well, there's that prop. I think it's at 130, but it's 2.5, over 2.5 rushing touchdowns.
Okay.
Like, I like that.
Well, I think in this game especially, Philadelphia, you look at the way their defense has been hurt this season. It's been on the ground. The Kansas City Chiefs have sort of revamped their rushing attack this year, a lot more under center stuff. And in this game, they're going to have to do that with the amount of injury at wide receiver. You combine that with Philly on the other side. That was one that stuck out to me here. There is one, and now you talk, all of this is incredibly sound, incredibly well-researched. I need one vibes bet on the board for
okay.
me.
Ooh.
When I saw DraftKings had any O lineman to score one or more receiving touchdowns at plus 3,500, I feel like it's our duty as Americans to bet that purely for the good intentions. And you've got really quality athletes on both offensive lines, both of whom healthy all year long. All these guys, same starting five, which means they got that ability in practice to go over to coach constantly all year long. Lane Johnson's over there with Shane Steichen and Nick Sirianni going, you know I played tight end in college. You know I was a quarterback. You know I'm one of the best athletes in the NFL. You show off the mitts in pre-practice here. This is a total vibes play for me.
I feel like
you can just sprinkle a little bit.
I feel like you wouldn't be you if you didn't place that bet.
Sure.
I kind of think now that this is out there in the world, you need to have the thick six T-shirt on with your 35-to-1 ticket stapled to the T-shirt on the big man touchdown. Like, let's make things happen.
And to that end, I feel like this is always one that people think about, especially we saw so many Tom Brady dropped passes. Philly special has lived in everyone's mind forever. We got the Eagles back in here. Non-quarterback with a touchdown pass, plus 2,200 in this game. I'm not sure if we've got anyone I'm confident in tossing the rock, but always an interesting side to think about knowing history with this particular Eagles franchise.
Well, yeah, and like, obviously, different team, different coaching staff.
Surely.
But still a coach that loves to be aggressive.
Yeah.
And we know that and loves to have a little bit of fun. But on the Chiefs side of things, too, like the creativity is always there. I mean, we saw a little ring around the rosy situation recently. Like, there's no reason to me why we couldn't try to dial up something. It's the Super Bowl.
Hey, yep.
Anything can happen.
Travis Kelce, the MVP, MVS, excuse me.
Yes. Well, speaking of MVP in here, Stormy, I feel like as far as MVP odds go for Super Bowl, Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes understandably leading the charge at the top. For the Mahomes side of things, there's no one else on the Chiefs you'd feel comfortable betting MVP odds for.
Not really, unless you want to throw like a long shot Chris Jones out there, which I don't hate. It's kind of one of those situations where, like, if you were getting a better number, although now Patrick Mahomes has turned into the favorite today over Jalen Hurts because people have been kind of taking the angle of if you can bet Patrick Mahomes for MVP and get a better plus money number than betting Kansas City money line, why not do that?
Right.
And so now things are switching a little bit in there. For me, yes, if KC wins, it's going to be because Patrick Mahomes, despite dealing with injuries, despite his whole receiving crew dealing with injuries, he's going to pull off something incredible. He's going to get the yards. He's going to get the connection with Travis Kelce. I guess maybe if he didn't rack up a ton of yards and do miraculous things, but Travis Kelce just somehow was always making himself available, a 10-to-1 shot on Kelce, I don't hate. But as far as KC, I think those are the only three options, and I wouldn't waste more than just a sprinkle of money on anyone but Mahomes if you like Kansas City.
Philadelphia being
more
the favorite
options
in this game.
Now we're talking.
Obviously, Jalen Hurts, we know, a little bit banged up in the shoulder coming into this one. Plenty of weapons. Is there anyone else there that you look at as a potential long shot outside of the quarterback?
Well, we've seen Miles Sanders' number get cut down a good bit from like 35-to-1 to 22-to-1 because I think a lot of people are of the mindset that if they're having success on the ground, it's going to come through him. I know we've seen a lot of talk about like Gainwell getting his touches. Boston Scott, obviously, 4 touchdowns the last 5 games, but that's largely been the back half of games, especially here in the playoffs where they've gotten out to extensive leads and the game's over and there's no need for Sanders to continue putting in that normal workload. So if it's a tight game like we all anticipate it is and they need to have success on the ground, he's going to be a big part of that and there could be potential for a big day. But if you want to do another long shot, like I said with Chris Jones, Hassan Reddick I think could be a really fun one. He probably was the MVP of the NFC Championship game for me, so why couldn't he do it here?
I wasn't going to bring up the
listen.
I'll brighten up the mood here. Talking about games within the game and long shots. Rihanna's first song halftime.
Now we're talking.
Okay.
Now we're talking.
All right.
First off, are you excited? Big Rihanna fan. Where are we at on this halftime
show? Can we talk about how many bangers this woman has?
Thank you. Right now we can.
I think it's going to be awesome.
Heaters.
I'm super excited about it. And for those of us that aren't actually, like, I'm not going to be at the Super Bowl watching the game on Sunday. I like the at-home experience of the Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
And the halftime show specifically is a made-for-TV event, you know? Like,
yes.
It's all camera angles and stuff. I think it's going to be epic. I'm very excited.
You mean you don't think the in-stadium Lady Gaga jumping from the top of the stands looked as good as it did on TV? I, for one, am shocked. But, Brandon, what are the odds? So
yes,
it's the opening song of her halftime routine.
Yes.
Because to Stormy's point, banger after banger. Rihanna, while she has been out of the public eye for a while, becoming a mother, being a billionaire, overall badass, she's got heat
days. This just in. I zoomed in on the graphic. Not real odds. Not real odds.
Theoretical.
Well,
theoretical
odds. Let's walk with theoretical odds.
Okay.
Then. It's all vibes anyway.
First song, we got Rude Boy plus 700, which is what I really like. I'm sorry, guys.
I think
she's going to play from the heart, get it out of the way. It's just going to be a heart pick. Talking about B-sides, Rihanna. I like that. Disturbia.
I need to get like a list of her top hits on my phone right now.
Disturbia is at
plus that's a good one.
3,000. Umbrella plus 200. And Don't Stop the Music. Minus 500.
Please Don't Stop the Music could really work as an opener, I think.
Yeah,
I think that could really, that is. What was the number again?
Minus 500.
Yeah, that could really work.
But Umbrella, and with Jay-Z's partnership in the NBA, it could be easy for him to do that and get back to his seat.
Pour it up.
Ooh.
That could be a good...
It's got to be a starter.
It's got to be, so that's my thought is it's usually... you don't just come in hot, right?
No,
it's something to get people excited. Like, yes. I am Rihanna. How yes. are we going to do this? And so
it's a warm-up act of a song.
I could see it being one of those songs that has like the starters that doesn't have music behind it to start.
Okay. I had this exact conversation with Nora Princiati from The Ringer about stripping it down.
Yes.
Drums, lights, flashes, quick, work. Could be a sneaky underdog in there to start with, because you could just kind of tease in that little beat.
That's the Rude Boy. That's the Rude Boy vote. Yeah. I see that. The same vibes. Mm. Same vibes.
I'm so excited.
I am jazzed for this one. Going to be a phenomenal halftime show. The irony of all this, my father, Mike Golick Sr., who's going to be joining on the same podcast, is the only one of us who is actually going to be on the field in the stadium for the Super Bowl halftime show on the sideline for Westwood One. So we are all going to be at home enjoying the cinematic version. My dad is going to be mere feet from Rihanna.
Feet from Rihanna and probably like dodging background dancers everywhere he goes. Yeah. There's going to be pyrotechnics, so please tell Golick Sr. to stay safe. I see him in my peripheral over there.
I know.
Stay safe, sir.
I need those pyrotechnics to singe off some of his hair so he's I can start to make a comeback.
Let's be real. At the end of the day, regardless how great it is, he's just going to be annoyed. He's going to be very annoyed.
Is he not a big Rihanna
process.
Fan?
You know what? I publicly have instructed him on one thing around this Super Bowl is if you are ever asked, I don't care what your honest truth is, you are a Rihanna fan.
Yeah.
You don't want parts with that Navy.
Yeah, that's
you
true.
Learned, don't.
You saw what happened with Stephen A. Smith. They had that man in an unmarked van having to issue an apology from an unmarked location for fear of the Navy's reply.
You can't go viral for the wrong reasons.
Nope.
You know, it's important. Priorities.
That's
wise advice from Stormy Bond and Tony on the betting front, on the life front, on surviving Super Bowl halftime.
You definitely don't hear that often on the life front, so thanks. Preach.
Stormy, thank you so much. We appreciate your time, buddy.
Thank you, guys. You're the best.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Busy show today.
Yes.
Nice to keep it within the family here at DK VSIN, everyone that's been over here with us at the Nice Set Radio Row.
Yeah, it feels like a very appropriate hump day. I'm getting that second wave energy, you know, the last leg.
Yeah, it is. Coming up, it'll be our last show tomorrow for the week around here. Still busy buzzing. This place is flooding in with people right now. But we got to end this thing the way we always do, Brandon. This, that, and the third. Three quick stories to end the day for everybody here. No sing song this week.
We sang a little bit right before we got here.
That is true. That is true. We sang a little bit on this podcast.
Yes. This, that, and the third. This, that, and the third. Go ahead.
There we go. Fair use. As always, make sure you download, subscribe, rate, and review. Leave us a 5-star rating. Leave us a review. Brandon, let's get to this. I thought this was interesting. As we talked about the big summer for the WNBA and all the spending out there,
yes.
The WNBA is reportedly investigating the defending champion Las Vegas Aces circumventing the league's salary cap by reportedly making under-the-table payments to players, a league source confirmed to ESPN on Wednesday. This was first reported by Next, and according to them, they've been accused of arranging calls with potential signees, either free agents or current players negotiating extensions, in which they would be offered, quote, a specific amount of money from a particular pre-selected company that worked involved would be negligible.
So, it sounds like the WNBA, or not WNBA, the Aces had NIL deals going on.
Yeah.
And I want to know who was getting paid, who was getting the duffel bag.
Honestly, I respect it.
Of course.
This is the mark of an organization that wants to win. Because remember, there was a legitimate Boston Globe article written about the Patriots' investment into TB12
yes.
and some of that and the thought that maybe there was some stuff going on circumventing the salary cap in the NFL. This just shows me you're willing to do whatever it takes. And the Aces, who won last year and are loaded up and appear to be one of the two super teams along with the Liberty, ready to do this thing. Yeah, you can go ahead and investigate it. This just means to me they want to win.
Yes, also the outside thinking of Becky Hammon coming in her first year. Like you can't tell me that she wasn't instrumental in getting creative on getting the best players paid on her squad.
Man, I tell you what, the next time Candace Parker's on Inside the NBA, have her on that set with Chuck and Shaq because he's like, Candace, will they throw you with that bag, Candace?
Candace, I know you got the bag finances. We all want to know how many got paid.
Why have you given Shaq such a robotic voice?
That is how Shaq delivers.
Oh, my God. Brandon, let's get to that. Speaking of delivering,
ooh,
Derek Carr, who was, I think, one of the star performers of the Pro Bowl as far as shade thrown at his former team in the Las Vegas Raiders,
yes,
have apparently been granted permission by the Raiders to visit with the New Orleans Saints, according to ESPN's Jeremy Fowler. That's going on. It went on Wednesday in Louisiana. It's his first known visit ahead of the Raiders' February 15th trigger date on his contract. At that point, he's going to be due $40.4 million, will become fully guaranteed. And so the Raiders are either going to have a new team absorb that, or they would have to release him if no trade partner emerges by then. So a lot of incentive for the Raiders to go out and see if he can get in a building that would like to get him for a pretty hefty price. It seems like that release might be the way to go.
Yeah, and I really like the idea of Derek Carr joining the Saints. For some reason, that makes sense to me. There's a level of stability, even if it isn't top-end quarterback stability like they're used to with Drew Brees, that the Saints desperately need right now. And I feel like he's prayed up enough to get through all that voodoo magic that's going on down there.
I do feel like they might be in the game of offseason quarterback musical chairs. We know Tom Brady out of that now. Aaron Rodgers, still someone we've heard linked to the Jets so many times.
Yes.
If you're looking around at places that may make a realistic home, I feel like Carr, that release makes sense because I think someone's going to have to wait, right? Like, the Jets aren't going to swing on him first, so it might behoove him to wait. But the Saints could be an interesting landing spot because they are going to have to really keep cobbling together something. All those years of the cap isn't real, finally catching up with them.
Yeah.
Let's get to the third, Brandon. We already talked about this yesterday, predictive, understood. LeBron James passed Kareem Abdul-Jabbar on the Tuesday night game for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Didn't come without some fireworks, though, because apparently Russell Westbrook and Darvin Ham got into it during the halftime locker room of that game. Apparently Russell Westbrook lingered on the floor a little bit when he was getting subbed out. Darvin Ham didn't really like that. It was all in the name of winning, even though it did not seem like anybody in that game gave a damn about the Lakers winning. LeBron James passing Kareem with 10 seconds left in the third quarter. And the, maybe we'll do something from the NBA beforehand, devolved into a full-blown LeBron James tribute video
going on with
a miserable Kareem Abdul-Jabbar at half court.
It was akin to when Kobe had his last game in the 30, 40 minutes afterwards, in the middle of a game that the Lakers were losing, and apparently OKC was apparently fine with it because no momentum was swung with them actually coming out and finally finishing off the Lakers at the end of that game.
Yeah, an Oklahoma City team that's three spots ahead of them right now in the Western Conference.
Yes, Mike, but I want to get deeper into what happened on the bench when LeBron James was shooting that shot. I don't know if you noticed, the only Lakers player to be sitting down, not watching, was Anthony Davis. And everyone is wondering if it's a personal strife between Anthony Davis and LeBron James, or, and this is what I'm liking, they're actively shopping Anthony Davis for pieces, and he knows about it. So he's a little bit not involved with the Lakers right now.
I just think they're all kind of over this. I mean, LeBron put on an incredible acting job, acting surprised, overwhelmed by a moment that he was clearly ready for.
The fake tears were too much. I'm a Bron sexual.
Exactly. I mean, we're all excited. You were taking pictures in a bar of it. I'm legitimately excited, love the player. I do wonder if now we've seen so much of the focus has been on this record this season. So much of the conversation is about playing with Bronny. The Western Conference is tightly bound in the middle. There is opportunity for movement down the second half of the season. You do wonder if this sort of clears the way for the focus to return back to the overall team, having so many of your stars now healthy and on the court together for a long stretch. Maybe they can make a run.
Yeah, but not with this constant one-and-done head coach, because now Lakers fans want Darvin Ham's head, too.
Well, Lakers fans grow up.
Figure
out that sometimes you've got to let these things marinate for a little bit after the bubble championship. As always, we appreciate you marinating with us. Make sure you download, subscribe, rate, review Gojo wherever you get your podcast. Leave us that 5-star rating. Check us out on the DraftKings YouTube channel under the Gojo with Mike Golick Jr. playlist. All this week out here, we are seeing blinged up deodorant, celebrities hawking product in here. It's going to be a great finish to the week here at Super Bowl 57. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Boom. Money in the bank.
Like a lot of people out there, I'm a big Swiftie. And so as you can imagine, when the Taylor Swift Eras Tour was announced last summer, it was like the Super Bowl for me. I had everything ready to go to give myself the best chance of getting great tickets. My whole family was in on the action. We spent hours in front of our monitors waiting for the link for the presale before the presale so that when we got our chance in line, we clicked the right button at the right time to make sure we had our chance at great seats for this once-in-a-lifetime concert opportunity. Because when you want the best, you have to act quickly, or someone else is going to get it instead. It's like if you're hiring for your business. You want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. So what's the best way to do that? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/gojo. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. So amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/gojo. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/gojo. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.